Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm excited and it's a great privilege and honor to be with you just a couple of days before Christmas. And thank you, choir. That was the whole sermon. That was a beautiful music, the beautiful song that you sang. So thank you very much. Very similar to what the angels sang when the shepherds heard it in the fields. So it was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that, for singing that. We're going to talk about Bethlehem, the city of God, the city of David. And it's interesting. We know the history of what happened at the birth of the baby, and we know the details, what the Bible says about it, and we're going to look at some of those details. But I think of how that relates in our own personal experience. And some of you know, I became a Christian when I was 20 years old at the University of Maryland, where I studied, and became a Christian then, and did not have, my family were not Christians, but we practiced Christmas and Easter. But Christmas time, my mother and father were divorced, so my mother raised us. I was the oldest of seven children in my family. I was the oldest one. My little sister was 13 years younger, so when I was 13, she was a newborn. But my mom worked very, very hard. So every Christmas, she would work hard to have presents under a tree, and we would celebrate Christmas together. And I remember those days, but I didn't really know the real meaning of Christmas. You know, I knew it had something to do with Jesus, you know, and Jesus is part of Christmas, but I didn't know the meaning of Christmas and didn't understand it. It just seemed like it was a commercial thing, you know, where people could make money by selling things, and people would buy things that they didn't want or need, and then you'd give these presents. I didn't know the meaning of Christmas. But then, when I was a sophomore, second year student, someone explained to me the real meaning of Christmas, what Christmas really meant. And ever since then, I've looked at Christmas in a different way. And I think about this story in Luke chapter 2, where it talks about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, a tiny little town of Bethlehem. And it's interesting about Christmas is that there's a whole genre, or there's a whole collection of songs related to Christmas. You ever think about that? And we're singing these songs about a little tiny baby that was born 2,000 years ago. You ever thought about that? Why are people still celebrating the birth of this little baby, Jesus? Well, it might be because of the importance of that baby. And so when you think about the town of Bethlehem, there's a very famous Christmas carol called O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it was originally written for children, the author of this Christmas carol. And I'm just going to read the first two verses of this Christmas carol. He says, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Now, if you have your Bible, open your Bible, or you can look in the bulletin. It has the scripture I'm going to talk about in the back on the bulletin or in your Bible. But look at verse 1. We're familiar with the story, but let me tell you a little bit about the story again. In verse 1, we see that a decree went out from Caesar. Caesar Augustus was the emperor or the ruler of Rome. So at this time, the Roman Empire dominated most of the inhabited earth. And they had the Empire of Rome just spread all across the Mediterranean area and through most of the earth, not all of it, but most of it. And so the emperor decided to have a census or a registration for all the citizens of Rome, all of them. Now we're talking many hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people. So this census didn't happen overnight. Probably some people estimated it took years, maybe 10 years, to complete the entire census. But you were required to go to your family's house of origin. So it doesn't mean that Joseph was born in Bethlehem, but they had to go to Bethlehem because David was the king, and Joseph, the husband of Mary, was a descendant of David. So that's how Bethlehem got this other name, City of David. It's because that's where David, the king, was born. And Joseph was a descendant of that king. So in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, there are genealogies where they go through the fathers, the grandfathers, the great-great-grandfathers, and many, many generations, over 40 different generations that lead all the way from David, king of Israel, to Joseph, husband of Mary. Now, Mary was pregnant when this decree went out. She was close to giving birth. So they had to leave where they were, which was Nazareth, and travel to Bethlehem. So I'll draw a little map here. So here, this is Israel. This is the Mediterranean Sea. And most people don't realize this. See, Israel is not a large country. It's only about 150 miles long and about 150 miles and only about 50 to 75 miles wide. It's not very large. And there's a body of water, the Sea of Galilee down here, the Dead Sea down here. This is the Jordan River, and it's divided into three parts. So you have Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. And right here is where Nazareth was. And right here, the capital city is Jerusalem. Bethlehem was only about 5 miles away, right there. Bethlehem was 5 miles, a little bit more, 5 miles south of Jerusalem. So I don't know if everyone can see that. So when the decree came, they had to leave Nazareth, and this is mountainous and hilly area, and they had to travel. Let's see if I have another color here. They left Nazareth to go to Bethlehem. About 70 miles. Now think about that. It was Mary and Joseph. They probably had a donkey or something that Mary rode on. But they had to go on a several day journey, and she's 9 months pregnant, in order to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So when they arrive in Bethlehem, it was the time of the Passover. There's different feasts going on. All the rooms were full. Now, they didn't have hotels, no Marriott or Hilton or Sheraton or no hotels, but people would have a guest room in their house. They also, during this time, the culture was that they would bring their animals into their house at night. They had little stables attached to their house. In this case, it very may well have been a cave attached to the house. So the animals were brought into the house at night. So in verse 4, look at verse 4, Joseph went from Galilee from the city of Nazareth, which is where they lived, to Judea, to the city of Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David. Now, it's interesting, if you read in the Gospel of Matthew, you hear about the three wise men. We're not going to talk about them very much, but they were Oriental. The wise men were Oriental. They came from the East. Some people think they possibly were Persian. You know, we don't know for sure. But they were men who studied the stars. They studied the stars. They were astronomers and astrologers. They looked for signs in the sky. And they happened to see a star that was moving from east to west. Now, what's unusual about that is the Earth rotates the other way, right? From west to east. Well, they were seeing a star moving in the opposite direction of where it should have been moving. And they followed that star. Now, this was days, there's a period of time, after the birth of Jesus. So they went to Jerusalem and they inquired, where is the king to be born? So Herod was the current king, and he inquired of the religious people who knew the Bible, where is the king to be born? And here's what's interesting. They quote from an ancient document that had been written about 500 years before that. They pull out a scroll, an ancient scroll of the Old Testament. And you know what it was? The scroll of Micah. Micah. And in chapter 5 of Micah, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will come forth one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." That's the prophecy that they read. So the Magi came and found, followed the star, came to Bethlehem, and found the baby, and gave gifts to that child, the mother and father. Now, the reason why I'm making a point of that goes back to the city of David. The city of David. In 2 Samuel, a promise is made to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And here's the promise. Your kingdom will never end. Your throne will never cease. That's an amazing promise that God made to David. He promised David that he would have a son on the throne to be in his place, who would be king. Who would be king. So Jesus, the little baby Jesus, the son of Joseph, the son of Mary, conceived by God, was born in the small town of Bethlehem. By some estimates, it may have only been about 300 people in this town. Very, very small town. But that's the city of David. So the time came for her pregnancy to be complete, verse 6. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. A time of great rejoicing. One month ago, 4 weeks ago, my oldest daughter had her second baby over in Greenville, South Carolina. So my wife and I went. Of course, they wouldn't let me in the room. I shouldn't be in the room when the baby's being born. But I was there right after the baby was born. They brought the baby out, you know, so I could go in. They didn't bring the baby out. I went into the room where my daughter was and her husband and got to hold that tiny little baby, 6 pounds, 8 ounce baby. But it was so beautiful being able to hold, it's a little girl, Eliza. Grandfathers like to brag on their kids, but Eliza, it was Eliza. And just a tiny little ball of joy. And I was thinking about that first Christmas morning when Mary and Joseph are holding that tiny little baby in their arms, not completely understanding of everything God had said about them, that this would be the King, Jesus would be the Savior, the King, the Christ. So he was born in this stable or cave or place where the animals were. And they put him in a manger. I don't know if you know what a manger is. A manger, it's like a little wooden box. It's how they fed the animals. They put oats or hay or things in this manger, this box, and the animals would eat out of that box at night when they were hungry. So they laid the tiny baby, they wrapped the baby in swaddling cloth. You know what they do with infant babies everywhere around the world. They wrap the baby in this cloth. And then they laid the tiny baby in the manger, inside that manger. And that's where the baby Jesus was born. Born and then laid into a manger. It's interesting, the word Bethlehem is translated house of bread. That's what the word means, house of bread. So you have Jesus, the bread of life, who would give life to all mankind, born in the city of David, the house of bread, and placed into this tiny little manger feeding box for the animals. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing story. It doesn't end there, though. Because close by to Bethlehem, there were hills that they kept the sheep. Some think it was the very sheep that they used in the temple in Jerusalem for sacrifices. But the shepherds were out in their fields at night, and they were watching over the sheep at night. And all of a sudden, heaven opened up, and the angels began to sing. And the angels announced to the shepherds the good news. Now the shepherds were scared to death of the angels. Almost every time you see angels in the Bible, people are scared to death of them. They're not fuzzy little happy creatures, you know, but they were awesome, awesome messengers of God. And the angels appear to the shepherds and says, "Don't be afraid." Look at verse 10. "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy." That verse right there, that's a good summary of the meaning of Christmas. It's good news of a great joy, verse 11. "For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." It uses three, Luke here uses three different names. Now, Luke was a physician, so he paid attention to detail. And Luke wrote the book of Acts. He wrote this gospel, the Gospel of Luke. So he paid attention to detail. And he calls out in verse 11, he says, "Today in the city of David there's been born for you." And he uses three different titles for the baby. And look at his three titles. "There's been born for you a Savior." A Savior. And that word Savior can also be translated deliverer, one who would deliver. He's the one who would come to die for our sins. Jesus is the Savior of mankind. The Savior of mankind. He would die for our sins. He would deliver us from the penalty of our sins. He would wash us and cleanse us and give us eternal life. That's the gospel. It's free. Can't earn it. Can't do anything to get it. We receive it by faith. "For by grace you've been saved through faith." It's not through any energy or effort or good works. It's a free gift of God by faith alone. So Jesus is our Savior. Look at also verse 11. Jesus is our Christ. Christ. And that word can be translated anointed one, or in the Old Testament, Messiah. You see, Jesus would be the Messiah, or the anointed one. He would be the royal one, the king, the royal one, who would be setting up his kingdom on earth. He was the Messiah. He was the prophesied one who would come to the earth to deliver us from our sins. And the Bible teaches he's coming a second time. And when he comes that second time, he will set up his kingdom physically on the earth. But then the third title, Savior, Christ, but the third one is Lord. Is Lord. In the book of Colossians, it talks about that Jesus was there, that in him all things were created. That he is the one who holds all things together. In the nucleus of an atom, he holds the protons together when they should be repelling. He holds them together. Some of you are scientists, you know what I'm talking about. He holds things together. He holds the whole universe together. He was there at the creation. He was the creator God who was Lord of the universe. Lord of the universe. But why did God do that? Why did God become a man? Why did God come to earth as a tiny baby? And I heard this story that helped me understand it a little bit. It was a farmer. This farmer had these fields that he would tend. And he grew cotton, he grew corn, he grew different things in his fields. And one day he was walking out in the field. And on that day they were going to water the field. They were going to open up the floodgates and the fields would be flooded with water. And as he, before he let the water out, he saw there was a big ant pile out in the field. He said that they're all going to be drowned. They're all going to be covered up. And he looked at those ants. He tried to warn them. He tried to rescue them. He tried to tell them there's danger on the way. And he couldn't do it because he couldn't communicate with them. The only way he could have communicated is if he would have become one of them. One of them. You see, that's the incarnation. The incarnation, it means literally to put on flesh. Carne is the word for flesh in Latin. And so God put on human flesh. God became a man. God is a spirit, but God became a man. It's the mystery of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus, God became a man and was born a tiny baby in Bethlehem so that he might save us from our sins. That's the meaning and the beauty of Christmas. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Christ, our Messiah, and our Lord. In a few days, people around the world are going to celebrate this birthday. Some are going to know why, some are not so sure, some don't care. But we as believers do care, Lord. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. Thank you that Jesus came to earth to be born as a tiny little baby, that we might have life and the joy of salvation. But help us to remember this Christmas, Lord. Help us to remember the true meaning of Christmas. That Jesus, the Son of God, was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.